And for the times where you failed to do good to others, or maybe retaliated, there was Jesus, as they cursed him and slandered his good name, the Son of God. He blessed them. Even as they mocked him and ridiculed him, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And not only did he have his garments taken away, he didn't demand them back as they cast lots for his clothing. He gave without demanding anything back, as he gave his life for you and for your enemy and for the worst, most vile, most horrific villain you can think of. He took the price. Someone had to die. And someone did. Don't respond like the world around you. Rather, do good. Bless. Pray for those around you, just as Christ prayed for you, blessed you, and gave you all.
This message is from Rock of Ages Evangelical Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona, February 23rd, 2025, Luke 6:27-38.
I read a book recently that was a biography by a man who grew up in the hillbilly culture of the Kentuckys. And he described how the people in that culture grew tough and hard through their coal mining experience, and then later as they migrated further to the steel mills. It was one of those tough cultures where you had to fight to get along. And yet he mentioned how you never start a fight, unless of course someone else insults your grandmother, or makes a joke about your mother, or perhaps if they make your sister cry, then no punishment is too severe. The author described a time when he was little, when someone made his sister cry, a boyfriend who dumped her. And he saw her passing in front of the house, and he knew what he had to do. So he went out and confronted that man. Though he was much bigger than him, he picked a fight with him. And the bigger man tried to push that boy aside, but eventually he let him have it and sent him home all beaten up and crying with a black eye. And when he came to his mother, the author described his mother saying, "You done good, boy, you done good." But of course, you can imagine if you had someone that had maybe 6 older brothers, how much they would protect their little sister. You'd want to fight back if they hurt them. And it's not that the girls necessarily in that Kentucky hillbilly culture were necessarily needing protection. He described a time, too, when his grandmother saw someone trying to load the family cow onto a pickup truck with a trailer. 2 men were there trying to steal their livelihood. So that grandmother, when she was 12, upon seeing that, took the shotgun and fired it at that man. Hitting one of them in the leg, the one with the pickup truck drove off, and the one with the gunshot in his leg was languishing on the ground. She ran up to him to finish off the job, until one of the family members intervened and stopped her. It's a tough world. And you have to survive in a tough world. And you can't just let people tramp over you. You can't let them insult your grandmother, and you certainly can't let them steal the family cow. And yet, aren't we familiar with what is reflected in what that author describes, that Kentucky hillbilly culture? This world still all around us is filled with, "If you mess around, you'll find out. And don't tread on me, and I will show you if you take what is mine." And yet, today we have another epiphany moment, that even though there may be times when we want to retaliate, or when we feel, seek some sort of revenge on those who caused us harm or pain, Jesus flips it around, and he removes, dispels our need to retaliate. He takes away our desire to seek judgment, and he even causes us to love those who hurt us and hate us. We see that as we consider what's found in Luke chapter 6. You know, this world certainly has that fight or flight feeling that's always been there, the fall into sin. And we know that the hillbilly culture in Kentucky is not the first place to bring out fighting those who hurt you or insult your grandmother. When Adam fell into sin, he quickly turned aside from his own wife the one who he considered bone of his bones and flesh of his flesh, and blamed and condemned her and Adam's offspring. The two brothers, Cain and Abel, quickly showed how even families might get along as one beat another till he bled and died. And that's the world after them, everyone after them. The world is filled with that. We see appearing on the pages of Scripture a man named Lamech, whose son was the first to have recorded tools of iron and steel, and he took those tools. And you can imagine Lamech holding his sword, threatening those around him. It says, as he boasts, "I killed the man for wounding me, and I will avenge myself seven times over." We see that today. After all, what are you going to do if the teacher doesn't see the person picking on you? They're not always there to step up. You have to step up for yourself. And in the workplace, if somebody causes you pain, don't you at least need to make them feel that pain in some way? Whether it's by attacking or slighting or making them know what they've done. That's the way the world operates. In fact, it's so bad and so ugly that people abuse other people, take advantage of them everywhere you look. And so people know, looking at the ugliness of this world, you have to do something. One solution people have offered is one major sports company put out the slogan, "Don't hate." And a candy bar company, just like you see those little messages on fortune cookies and tea bags, put a little message inside the candies that says, "Be kind, it's free." And the popular musicians and the artists try to fix this world, just trying to imagine how it could be if we could just all get along. And so they write songs saying, "Love is all you need." And yet those attempts at fixing this broken world, they can't really resolve it, can they? After all, that same company that puts out the message, "Don't hate," is filled with players and fans who are filled with hatred for one another. And that candy company, it might put out nice, sweet messages about being kind, but really all they care about is that you're going to make their wallet fatter, and you eat their chocolate and just get a little bit fatter. And you might hear someone say, "Love is all you need," but they don't have enough to even love their spouse beyond their honeymoon. Something has to be done. Someone has to fix this. And what about the times when it's severe? I'm not just talking about the times when somebody insulted your grandmother or made a joke about your mother. What about the times when somebody abuses someone and they abuse them in a way that causes trauma and they take away from them their innocence? What about the times where you see, like on the news, where infants and helpless people are treated so horribly? What about those instances? Don't you just think that then, at that cost, somebody has to pay, somebody has to die? There needs to be justice. And don't get me wrong, there is, as God instituted, the authorities who are to step in to preserve the peace and give consequences for evil. But are we to become the judge? Are we to make ourselves those who put ourselves in the place of God to decide what people must face for the wrongs they do? Are we the ones to enact justice? And do we have the right, the privilege of seeing someone else suffer because they made us suffer? We might think so, but someone has to do something, and it's not going to be us. Jesus spoke about how we are to fix this world, not with retaliation, not with seeking revenge, but he says, quite the contrary, "I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who treat you wrong. If someone slaps you on the cheek, turn to them also the other. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to the one who asks you, and to the one who takes from you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you." And notice what Jesus is describing here is not simply "don't hate." No, what he's saying is not simply "avoid harming others." He says, "love those who hate you." And Jesus isn't just telling you to be kind to them. He's telling you to give to them in a way that you're letting go of your rights and not just withhold from striking when it hurts, but love them back even when they cause hurt. And some people will quote here this, what's called the golden rule, do to others as you would have them do to you. But they'd be missing what Jesus says if they missed. He's talking about do this even to those who hate you and who harm you, to bless them, to do good to them. How is that done? How can we live in such a way that we would do this? Jesus describes how we live. He says, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you are someone who does good to those who does good to you, is that any credit to you? You might say, I'm a good person, I do good. That's the way the world operates. But what about doing good to your enemies? What about holding back on retaliation? What about instead of saying, mess around and find out, to say, I will be patient, forgive, and not seek revenge? How can this be done? Someone needs to do something. Someone needs to pay. Someone needs to die. And that's what happened. Can you picture him? As they beat him on the face again and again. Jesus didn't just tell us to do this. He came to do this for us. As he was struck again and again, prophesy, who hit you? He did not retaliate or strike back. Someone had to pay. And to step in the place of those who wronged you, he took on himself the wrong and the vengeance and the price. And for the times where you failed to do good to others or maybe retaliated, there was Jesus. As they cursed him and slandered his good name, the Son of God, he blessed them. Even as they mocked him and ridiculed him, he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And not only did he have his garments taken away, he didn't demand them back as they cast lots for his clothing. He gave without demanding anything back, as he gave his life for you and for your enemy. And for the worst, most vile, most horrific villain you can think of, he took the price. Someone had to die. And someone did. God doesn't just dismiss the evil. He takes it, the price and the cost. And the Son of God takes that from us. And in response for the whole evil of this world and for yours, he does good, expecting nothing in return. After all, your Father, the Most High, is gracious and merciful to the ungodly and the wicked, even the ungrateful. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. How do we handle when people come to us and they cause us harm or insult us or abuse us or take from us what is ours? Jesus makes it clear. Don't respond like the culture you've grown up in, either in Payson or Kentucky. Don't respond like the world around you. Rather, do good, bless, pray for those around you, just as Christ prayed for you, blessed you, and gave you all, and gave the same to those who harm you. Now, I don't know what sort of loss you faced, whether somebody has insulted your grandma, or they tried to steal your family cow. I don't know what harm they've caused you. But today we have an epiphany moment on how you're to respond. This is our epiphany moment as we look at Christ. Overcome evil with good. Amen.